ran up on the hill about 12 o'clock. Reached right back and got me a poke. Went to the hard one, got me a hook. Placed that line right on that hook. Said, you've been fishing all the time. I'm a-going fishing too. I bet your life, your loving wife, catch more fish than you. Any fish bite, got good bait. Here's a little something I've let you lay. Any fish bite, got good bait. I'm a-going fishing. Yes, I'm going fishing. I'm a-going fishing too.
This is the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another issue of Why Fish Radio from the sunny shores of Why Fish Central, where we put the cast in podcast. And I'm your host, Brad, with my other host, Brad. And I'm normally not the one that does the intro, but we thought we'd try something a little different here. And I think our focus this week is going to be downsizing, getting away from carrying all that junk around with you out on shore and in the boat. So, Brad, what do you have to say about that?
Well, that's an interesting subject that has been kind of a goal of mine this year, and I'll start it out with a short story, I guess. If you recall our trip to Lockport last year when we visited Stu and all the boys up there, I had my green tackle box. It was, I believe, a three-tray Plano, and the thing must have weighed about, 50, 60 pounds by the time I had all the lead in it. I had lead, sinkers of every size. I had hooks, swivels, God knows what. You know, I could have gone years on that tackle. And you guys were making fun of me because of this huge box. And what really did it is we're on the way home. I picked the thing up and the handle broke off because it was too darn heavy. So the next thing I did was I took a page out of your tackle box, which is about an 8.5 by 10 little Plano tray, and take just what you need to get you by for the trip. And then if you run out of things or you're running low on things, just kind of fill it up as you go and then carry it around in a backpack. And that's kind of what started the trek to the downsizing. And I tell you what, it's making my life a whole lot easier.
Well, there's just so much stuff that you don't need. I mean, when it comes right down to it, when you go fishing, and it'll vary a little bit depending on the species, but, you know, say you're fishing walleyes, I mean, you tend to have kind of your basic core tools that you're going to need. You know, you'll probably need some jigs, some live bait rig setups, you know, some plain hooks, some slip sinkers, maybe some spinners, things like that. I mean, there's no reason to be carrying along, you know, a bunch of spoons and a bunch of 3-ounce catfish sinkers when you're out doing that. You mix and match and take what you need and leave the rest at home. And it's not only that, I mean, when you're out on the water, you want to make the most of your time. And why spend time hunting for stuff? And, you know, that's a battle I face all the time.
Well, that's exactly it, hunting for stuff. Back here, it must be 4 or 5 years ago now, I got this bright idea because I was carrying two small tackle boxes around that I would buy this big, huge thing at Cabela's and get everything into one. And it wasn't even the biggest one they had. It was only an 8-tray tackle box with a couple of storage pouches, and I put everything in it and had everything kind of the way I wanted it and still couldn't find anything, so I labeled each tray by category as to what was in it. Worked good, but now I'm more refined, learning what I need, and I'm finding that my trays are actually starting to get empty in that thing as I'm honing my supplies to exactly what I need and what I want, not what I've been caught in the bait store or the tackle shop, and just carry it around to look at because it's a pretty color or something.
Yeah, you know, you talk about that tackle box you had up there at Lockport last year. I remember the handle giving out on that thing, and I can see why, because that was one heavy honking tackle box. And, I mean, had we been in a situation where we would have lost the anchor, we would have been in pretty good shape. We could have somehow just tied a rope around that and tossed her down, and I think we would have been just fine. But, you know, again, it's why spend all that time hunting for stuff? And I'm kind of in that situation again now. I mean, I've gotten it down fairly well, but I can take it to the next level, I think. And I'm trying to do that because we're going on a fly-in fishing trip here in about 3 weeks. And, I mean, there you're in a situation where, you know, weight is really a factor. I mean, you've got to pack light and you've got to pack smart. And one of my buddies that goes on this trip tends to be a little bit of a stickler for detail, and he'd made a remark in an email here a couple weeks back that he was going to be downsizing. So I emailed him last week and said, well, you know, what exactly do you have in mind as far as downsizing? What are you looking at doing? And he's a guy that also takes a trip or two to the Boundary Waters every year, and picked up a little waterproof Plano tackle box, and you know, not necessarily a plug for Plano, but they do tend to do a pretty good job with those kind of things. And it's a really nice all-purpose, very, very compact unit. I mean, there's a space for jigs. He can get a half dozen crankbaits in there, probably room for a small pliers and you know, some twister tails and, you know, maybe some power bait, whatever you're using along those lines. And it's all right there. And it's in a, you know, probably a 8.5 by 11 size case, and it's only a couple inches deep. So I thought that looked like a pretty good route. So I ran out and bought one. So now I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to pack it up.
Well, as we're sitting here doing this show, I'm looking at the tackle box I just picked up, which is going to be my goal of downsizing. And I'll tell you guys kind of what I'm thinking of doing. It's four big trays is what it is. I'm going to not go to next to nothing, but because I still am a little bit of a pack rat. But it's going to downsize me from 8 trays to 4 trays. And what I'm thinking is, in my other one, I've gotten rid of a lot of my sinkers. I primarily use a slip sinker or a bottom bouncer. So a lot of my little split shots and a lot of the other things I've just, over the last couple of years, have gotten rid of. So I'm going to go down to slip sinkers and bottom bouncers. And then I've got another one that's full of swivels and all kinds of different things. Man, I have a swivel for everything. I just don't need them because I don't use them. So in that tray, I'm going to put that stuff in there as well. So all that's in one spot. Then, of course, you got to have one full of jigs. I'm getting more into jigging. Got to have my jig box. That is not going to change. That's just going to move from one box to the other. And then my other one will be bobbers, soft plastics, hooks, and the miscellaneous things, which leaves one tray left. And here's how I'm going to tackle this one. I've got one box in my other tackle bag that is just crankbaits for pulling and trolling. I've got another one that's just full of crankbaits for casting and throwing and more spring stuff. Well, in the spring, I never troll cranks in the spring, but I cast all the time. And in the fall or summer, I never cast. I almost always troll. So my way around this one is I'll just set the tray downstairs on my fish table of the one I'm not using. And in the summer, I'll carry the one in the tackle box that is going to be for trolling. And in the spring, I'll just switch the two and use the other one. I think that's pretty logical. What do you think for a packing system?
I think it sounds like it's going to work. And, you know, the bottom line when it comes down to is you want to be able to find what you're looking for when you need it. And, I mean, that's a problem I have all the time. I mean, maybe it's just me. I mean, I guess if you've seen my house or my desk at work, you'd understand why this situation crops up from time to time. But, I mean, there's nothing worse, especially when you've been out on the water for a while. I mean, you're trying to find your needle nose or you need to find a new swivel. And it's, you know, for whatever reason, I'm not sure what the Murphy's Law explanation of this is, but they always tend to work their way down into the bottom of the bag or in that bottom pocket where they're hardest to reach. And it drives me nuts. So, you know, I'm just trying to get away from that and, you know, take a little stress out of that time on the water. I mean, it's you're not supposed to be out there looking for stuff. You're supposed to be out there fishing. And if I don't need to take all this junk with me, I'm not going to do it. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, I think we've got our goals set for the downsizing. And to all our listeners out there who are, whether you're a big fisherman or a small fisherman, the thing is, you don't need to carry the kitchen sink with your tackle. Just take what you need or what you think you need, and sooner or later you'll hone it down to something very simple, which reminds me of a friend of ours up in Canada, a guide. When we pulled up to the fishing spot, I recall what his tackle box was, something like, wasn't it a Cool Whip container or something?
I think something like that. I mean, I've seen some real creative ones, and I mean, you talk about that one. I remember an ice fishing trip up on the northwest angle of Lake of the Woods. We take a trip up to Oak Island every winter, and the the guy that runs the camp up there, he'll usually come out and meet us for an afternoon of fishing there once or twice along the way. I mean, we're out in portable, so we're out in some, you know, kind of new water, and we're not sitting in a big fish house, you know, staring at the same four holes all day. But inevitably, when he shows up, he'll bring one ice fishing rod with him. He's carrying with him on the snowmobile. And I've seen him with a film canister with, you know, maybe a couple of jigs or a Swedish pimple or whatever he happens to find on the floor of his bombardier that he shuttles folks out on the lake and that people forget. But, I mean, I've seen it happen more than once. He shows up with this just absolutely, you know, poor man's version of a tackle box. But he'll come over and he'll outfish us every time. So you don't need to have all this stuff with you. You know, I mean, you talk about traveling light. I mean, that's a classic example. And, you know, like you say, the old Cool Whip thing there, you know, it's not necessarily pretty, but, hey, it did the job.
That's absolutely right. Well, we're going to shift gears here a little bit. The next couple, 3 weeks is going to be pretty busy for us. We have a lot of trips planned here the next three or 4 weeks, I think it is. So I'll let Brad to kind of take a start, and I'll finish up with kind of what's going to be happening here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, and I'm really looking forward to this too, but, you know, unlike yourself, who's been able to hit the water pretty much every weekend, I haven't had that luck here lately. I had a weekend where I had to go to a wedding, and then, you know, other times, you know, when you could go, it would be storming or raining or blowing. And I mean, there's no question about it. This has been an absolutely rotten summer up in this neck of the woods. The latest trend here lately seems to be severe thunderstorms and high winds and, you know, the kind of stuff that'll take a tree down every once in a while. So it's kind of cut into my fishing, and then you put a flooding river on top of it. And I'm kind of a river rat by nature. Not only the Red River here in Grand Forks, but, you know, some smaller rivers that will remain nameless that I can't fish right now because they're flooding. And so I'm really itchy to get back in the water and do some new things. And I mean, we've got, you know, probably one of the most anticipated trips of the year coming up here in just a little over a week when we make our pilgrimage to Lockport, Manitoba, where we're going to tie into some big kitties and do some battle. High water, but, you know, from the sounds of things, it's certainly not going to hamper our ability to have a good time.
No, and that's trip number one. Well, of course, first I got to make one more run to Devils, get the boat and get some supplies. But after that, after we play with the kitties a little bit, then we're going to head up and visit our friend Vance up at Trail End, do some walleyes. That ought to be a good one. And then on the way home, we're going to stop and see Stu and the boys at Cats on the Red again for another 2 days. So that's going to be the big trip. And then after that, you've got a really good trip lined up.
I do. And, you know, but, you know, first, you looking back just on this trip we're taking to Manitoba, I mean, what a great mix as far as, you know, species and just the countryside. Because Trail End Camp, that's located on the Winnipeg River. It's only, you know, a little over an hour drive from Cats on the Red, but yet it's very different terrain. And we'll be heading up with our buddy Vance there at Trail End and doing some walleye fishing. And we did that last year, and I really got sold on that mix of doing some different things. But yeah, then like you say, we come back, I guess, on a Monday night, and spend a long week at work trying to get things done and anticipating what's to come. And I'll turn around Friday and meet some friends of mine in Baudette, Minnesota. And then I guess it'd be the 1st of August. We turn around and we head up to Pick Lake, Ontario, which is as far in Ontario as you can drive on a road year-round. There's some winter roads where you can drive up and get a little further back into the sticks, but that's basically the end of the road, the farthest north in Ontario. And then we hop in a plane from there, and we'll be going to a real nice camp. It's got solar electricity, running water, and we're really looking forward to that one. It'll be great walleye fishing, and you know, maybe we'll do the odd cast for northern pike every once in a while, but it's one of those things. I really like getting on a good fast walleye bite, and it's what I really enjoy about these fly-in lakes. And I mean, if I can catch 100 walleyes in a day with a jig and a twister tail, I'm going to do it. And so I'm really looking forward to that one.
Well, then I've got, following that one up, I've got a big week planned on the good old shores of Devil's Lake, but I think I'm going to save that one for a future show to talk about, because we'll get a little closer and see what the trends are, and I'll have the plan more figured out when that happens. So I think that's going to do it for another edition of Why Fish Radio. Don't forget to give Stu a call up at Cats on the Red, like we're hearing. Water's high, but the fishing's hot. And hey, we're going to be up there this weekend, in fact, so why don't you swing up and say hello if you can make it. Don't forget to check them out on the web, catsonthered.net. They'll get you taken care of. So for another episode of Why Fish Radio, I'm your host, Brad, checking out.
And I'm Brad, and don't forget, the number up at Cats on the Red is area code 204-757-9876. And until next time, keep your hook in the water, keep your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
You have been listening to the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad. For more information, log on to our website at why-fish.com.